Good morning and welcome to MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue, and we're coming to you from the campus of Middle Tennessee State University in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and the studios of WMOT-FM. Our guest today is Ishelle Eady, who is the new MOA Middle Tennessee Consortium Adult Student Coordinator. Now, what the Sam Hill does that mean? What that means is that she is working under a pilot program which is designed to attract, retain, and graduate adult learners, non-traditional students, they are called in the college and university trade. And so if you are someone who is going back to college at an advanced age, quote unquote, 30s, 40s, 50s, so that you can spice up your resume or get a promotion, you hope, or just to expand your horizons as a human being, this is a conversation you're going to want to listen to. Ishelle, thanks for being with us today.
Thank you for having me, Jenna.
How did this grant come to pass? This is a three-year grant-funded program. There are no state monies involved in the actual implementation of this program. Explain how that works.
That's right. The Lumina Foundation was looking to get involved with the overall push in Tennessee to get more students graduated at any age, and they were most interested in having more of our adult students graduate either from technology centers, community colleges, or four-year universities. And so this was a competitive grant, and the Middle Tennessee Consortium that was awarded the grant consists of MTSU, Motlow State Community College, and the Tennessee Technology Center at Murfreesboro. There's only one other consortium that was awarded a grant in Tennessee, and that consortium is made up of UT Martin, and the Tech Center at Jackson,
mm-hmm.
and then Dyersburg State Community College.
Okay, so that's strictly a West Tennessee operation.
Exactly. We have one West Tennessee and one Middle Tennessee.
Okay. How are you going to implement this grant in a way that will facilitate non-traditional student learning?
Well, one of the things I'm most interested in doing is building on programs that are already in place at the different institutions. And so I've been with the program for, it was a month yesterday.
Hey.
And so I've used a lot of that time just going around and talking to different, on different campuses, talking to different people and finding out basically what's already going on. I've spoken with a lot of advisors. I've had the chance to meet with students and student groups and really just to get a feel for what's already in place. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel, but we do want to be able to support existing programs and then develop new programs that are going to support our adult learners at any stage of their education.
So this is not necessarily a program to take someone who is going to the tech center, for example, to learn a trade and saying, you have to go through 4 years of a university like MTSU to get a bachelor's degree. If that doesn't happen to be right for that particular individual, all of the endeavors being undertaken by this consortium are centered toward an individual's particular, special, unique needs.
That is exactly right. Now, of course, we will support students at the Tech Center or at community colleges if they're interested in furthering their education beyond that. But really, what this grant is designed to do is to make sure that students who are in school now are able to complete. And whatever that support looks like at whichever campus we're referring to, that's what we're here to do. This is a pilot project, and should we be successful and move forward beyond the three-year grant period, we are looking to do more outreach to bring more adult learners into the pipeline, again, wherever they're interested in starting.
We know why young students drop out. They come to college to get away from their parents, and they think they can party, party, party. Or if it's not that, it's just the feeling of being overwhelmed in a completely new environment and a humongous bureaucracy that they're really not equipped to deal with. There are lots of different reasons why students just say, the heck with it after a semester or a year or 2 years. What about the non-traditional student? What are some of the reasons that individual might jettison his or her degree track program, and what can you do to intervene and help that individual all the way through to a certificate or a degree?
Well, one of the reasons we hear most often that adult students are not able to complete has to do with finances and the availability of financial aid for non-traditional track students. Recently, Governor Haslam signed into legislation a bill that is going to help, or actually a law that's going to allow students to get the Hope Scholarship applied to summer classes also. And that's going to be a huge benefit for all students, but especially for adult students. Many adult students find the summer to be one of the times that they can actually take that extra class or have an extra load. And so this is going to be huge for that population. Other things that can interfere with adults being able to basically go straight through and complete their education, sometimes it has to do with just family issues. You know, adult students are generally working a full-time job, most often caring for family at home, and then attempting to complete their degree. And so other supports aside from financial aid that we are going to be able to help accelerate include the way classes are, the way courses are designed, offering a lot more non-traditional ways to access courses, for instance, online classes, increasing articulation agreements, increasing the number of cohorts that we put in place, specifically designed for adult learners to be able to study in the evening, for instance, all sorts of innovative things that we're putting together to make sure that the adults have the support they need so that they can complete.
It might seem counterintuitive to somebody looking at this from the outside that an adult student would have difficulty with finances, because you're thinking someone who's been in the workplace for 20, 30 years has a consistent track record of paying off debts, has a credit report, a credit history, and maybe put money down on a house and has that as collateral. And so you would think they would be able to obtain loans and would be a really good quote-unquote risk insofar as the money end of it is concerned, but they still run into roadblocks.
Well, the interesting thing is that for every hour an adult learner is in class or studying, that's an hour that they're not earning their income. Mm-hmm. So if you look at it that way, a lot of times non-traditional students are at a disadvantage because they have to feed themselves, they have to feed their families, and you're right, they may have lengthy credit histories, some of which they're still tending to with their salaries. So,
especially in this economy.
Oh, exactly. And so that's one of the reasons we really want to make sure that our courses and our programs are as efficient as possible so that adult students are more often than not looking at completing their education in terms of being able to either access the type of employment they need or to be promoted in their current employment. And so explain it to them that maybe 4 or 5 years down the road you'll complete this degree or this certificate program can be really unattractive. And sometimes the adult student can feel defeated, you know, in light of that. So I think, you know, we haven't talked so much about the emotional aspects of being an adult learner, but I really do feel that, I mean, if you look at the statistics, a lot of the adult learners that we work with may have had some college, may mm-hmm. have not had a very successful first time around in terms of higher education, and so we're working with that too. Some of our students aren't really 100% sold on the fact that they can complete and they can be successful.
It's an idea that might not even have entered the thinking of someone going to the Tennessee Technology Center. They might not think of themselves as 4-year degree material, and some of them might not be, but then some of them who might be aren't even considering the possibility that they could transfer to a 4-year institution and make it all the way through.
And I'm glad you mentioned that, because the possibility and just the reality that you can do more and you can achieve more is really the primary message that we're trying to drive home. And once we get that message out there, we certainly want to be able to back that up with as many supports as possible for these students.
And when it comes to taking care of the kids, taking care of the house, with an adult learner, sheer exhaustion becomes a factor. There are only so many hours in a day. You have to sleep. You have to take care of yourself. If you get sick, you're not going to be able to study, take care of the kids, or do anything else. So that's one thing that I think maybe the 18-year-old freshman doesn't really have on his or her radar screen is the fact that an adult student is working, learning, taking care of the house, taking care of the kids, maybe taking care of mom and dad or mom and dad-in-law at the same time. And with all of these balls in the air, how do you fit school into that priority list?
And it's not easy. And one thing we want to make sure we're not putting out in terms of our messaging is that this is going to be easy for you. It's not easy. I mean, I was an untraditional student myself, and I can speak to every single point we've talked about this morning in terms of potential roadblocks to completing. It took me several years to complete my first degree, but I'll tell you what, it was difficult at times on our family, but we are really reaping the benefits now. And I think having my children be able to watch me pursue and do whatever it took to make sure I completed my education is going to be so important. Should they ever run up against a roadblock, you know, they won't feel like, oh, you know, I can't do it. I've never seen anybody do it. It's impossible. No, it is possible, and it's going to be tough, but it's absolutely possible.
That's another thing that's so essential is family support, and you obviously had it. There are varying levels of family support depending upon the individual. In some cases, it's virtually non-existent. Now, obviously, your husband was on board with what you were trying to accomplish and was helpful with that, and the two of you, I'm sure, explained the situation to the kids and explained why schedules would have to be the way they are and so forth. How do you have a role to play in that kind of a scenario, in that kind of the counseling? How do you get the family on board with this?
Yes, and not only the counseling, but also from a policy standpoint, we are looking at, for each of our institutions in this consortium, we're looking at ways we can positively impact those supports. For instance, we have started already at the Technology Center in Murfreesboro. We are going to have information sessions, almost set up like an information fair, mm-hmm. for our adult students to come in. Of course, it'll be open to any students, but geared toward our adult students, letting them know in this geographic area what supports are available for them. So if we're talking about childcare, we don't only want to say, well, this is where you can take your children or this is where your children can go while you're studying, but we also want to let them know if there are any financial resources that can be attached to that. So we're really trying to be comprehensive in terms of understanding that completing an education for an adult impacts more than just that person. Mm-hmm. And so we want to be able to positively impact more than just the student.
Mm-hmm. How have you been able to ease into your new role? You haven't had it for very long, but tell a little bit about the background that you bring to the table that helps you get acclimated to this new position.
Okay, well, again, in addition to the fact that I have been in the shoes of a lot of these adults, either in school now or going back to school, I also have over 20, 25 years experience in adult education and workforce development. I've had the benefit of seeing from both sides, I'd like to say from the employer's perspective, as well as from higher education's perspective, what we need to do to have not only our adult students, but all students really completely prepared to enter the workforce. And so I'm excited to bring all those years of experience to bear for this current role.
When it comes to developing partnerships with the external community, the business community, how does that work? I know that there are some businesses that offer current MTSU students, for example, discounts on things at their establishments, retail establishments, restaurants, things like that. I know that if I'm a single working mother, for example, who is going back to school, I'd much rather have a discount on a daycare service than I would to have a coupon that entitles me to two pizzas at Pizza Hut, not to pick on Pizza Hut, but you know what I'm talking about.
Sure. Well, just earlier this month, I was able to meet with members of the Rutherford County Chamber, and one of the things we have planned to put into place for this fall semester is a mentoring program where we are actually going to match students, again, from the Technology Center, Motlow, and or MTSU, with people in the business community who already have experience in whatever the academic area the student is interested in. That is going to do a number of things for us. First of all, it's going to basically be the carrot in front of that student to say, you know what, I'm doing the right thing, I'm on the right track, this is what I'll be able to do once I complete. But also it's going to increase our visibility in the community. And so when we do need to make that ask and we are looking for that support, the business community is already aware of what we're doing, the great work we're doing, and the impact, the positive impact it's going to have on our economy in the area.
It may be a discount in the short run, but in the long run, it's going to be building a clientele from the business person's perspective that will come back again and again and again because they got a break, doing something that facilitates convenience for a harried, hectic person trying to do a multiple number of things at the same time, especially when school is part of the equation, because it requires deep thought. It's not something you can do by rote memorization, like, you know, getting your kids dressed for school or something like that. It's something you have to sit down and concentrate on. Anything you can do to ease the stress, make things more convenient for people, people will remember you for that and be eternally grateful.
That's right. New customers, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me a little bit about what you were like as an adult learner and some of the things, because I don't think the 18-year-old freshman has a concept of what it's like to be a 30, 40, 50-year-old person going back to school and being in a classroom with people half their age. And because I've done it, that's what I did. I accomplished my bachelor's degree and finished it in 2009, even though when I was in the 1970s was when I went to university for the first time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, put those two halves of the equation together and it came out, you know, with a degree. But talk a little bit about what it's like in the classroom for an adult student learner. Most professors are sensitive to the needs and concerns these days, aren't they?
I'm not sure about that, excuse me, but it's funny because we've both already been the 17-year-old, 18-year-old student the first time around.
Right.
I entered undergraduate school for the first time, very underprepared.
Mm-hmm.
And so it really wasn't a financial issue that I walked away from my undergraduate study. It was more, I felt like I couldn't do it based on the success I was not enjoying in the classroom. And I don't think that's going to be very much unlike a lot of the adult students that we're working with now. Mm-hmm. Going back to complete again as a non-traditional student, by then I had a family, I was working full time, I had to go back part time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. Going back as an older student in a classroom with younger students, and you think about it, we're doing projects together, we're having class discussions together.
Right.
It was a little interesting at first. One of the things that I did, I like to focus on, and I would really encourage our adult students to focus on now, is not so much what you're not bringing to the table, but what you are. You know, you've been out there in the workforce, even if you haven't, if you've supported a family, if you've supported yourself, there's so much that you bring, so much value that you bring into the classroom. And I'm really hoping that our students get that. And then I think the more we as students can get that, the more the faculty will come to appreciate the differences in the students and be able to basically teach to everyone, you know, because all of us need what we're going to the class for, else we wouldn't be there.
All of us teach each other. Sometimes
exactly.
The students even teach the professors.
Exactly.
Without meaning to be imperious or anything like that. But if you're a non-traditional student, you undoubtedly will say things in the classroom that will go right over your younger fellow students' heads because they have not been there and done that, let alone gotten the T-shirt, right?
That's right.
And that can be a very, not to try to put the younger students down or anything, but that can be a very empowering feeling. That can help reinforce your own self-esteem and help you move forward as you pursue that degree.
Absolutely. And I think I'd like to go back to what I said a little bit earlier in terms of the faculty, because, again, we definitely don't want to beat up on faculty. What can we do without them?
Yeah.
But I do understand that most people, if not all people who go into the teaching profession, are very serious about the quality mm-hmm. the quality of education that their students will leave their classroom with or leave their program with.
These people are not numbers crunchers. These people are there to make sure that the meat and potatoes is where it's supposed
right.
to be.
That's exactly right. And I want to make sure that it's understood across the board that this particular grant, this initiative, is not in any way meant to water down, dilute education. What we're trying to do is make that same high quality education available to our adult students. We're not trying to change anything in terms of the quality of education so that we can say, hey, look at how many more students we've had complete degrees. That mm-hmm. that defeats the purpose. So that's absolutely not what we're trying to do.
And what the business community gets out of the adult student who pursues a four-year degree, goes all the way to the end, and takes that increased or augmented level of experience, knowledge, insight back into the workplace is more productivity and greater performance, the kind of performance you couldn't possibly get out of someone who is a neophyte.
That's right. And not only our current business owners, our current companies, but companies looking to come into the area to provide more jobs. I mean, you can't even imagine the positive impact and the long-term impact an initiative like this is going to have on our economy in this community. So this is a win-win for everyone. I can't imagine anyone not being excited about what we're doing.
At the end of it all, at the end of the three-year period, how will you know that you have accomplished what you set out to do? Is there a specific goal? I don't necessarily mean in terms of a quota, but how will you know that you've really accomplished something great for the three institutions and for the adult learners?
Well, you know, we're being assessed all along during the three-year period. And if we go down a path that's not necessarily working or it's not what the grantor is looking for, we're able to make those adjustments here on the ground, so to speak. At the end of the three-year period, what we will be able to show is not only an increase in the actual number of certificates and degrees completed, but also an increase in the supports, an increase in the type of policy that support our adult students. All of that is going to be really important, and I'm convinced that we'll be able to do it and that we'll be able to keep this program funded even beyond the 3 years.
Then you were really measuring success on a lot of different levels, not just number of degrees achieved, but also number of public-private partnerships obtained. There are probably other ways of looking at success, too, beyond the numbers. You're probably going to want to accumulate anecdotal success stories from individual students telling what this program has meant to them in terms of their own personal sense of self-worth and their productivity and earning power.
Oh, that's exactly right. And we do feel like we've got a little bit of something to prove, and we're not daunted at all by that. I'll give you an example. My business cards mm-hmm. for this grant are yeah. actually have been designed and are being developed by two business systems technology students at the Tech Center at Murfreesboro. So we are definitely having a positive impact on a number of levels. Those students who are working on these business cards are also going to be developing the website for the grant program. And so those are our two first success stories right there. Mm-hmm. And we expect to have many more at different levels.
That's an excellent example of experiential learning. Mm-hmm. Learn by doing. And you can also do that in cooperation with Motlow, because I understand that it is becoming easier, that measures have been taken to make it easier for credits at the two-year schools, the community colleges, to be transferred to the four-year institutions without losing anything along the way, right?
Yes, and that's one of those examples that I referenced earlier where things were already in place and the grant is basically going to be able to support the efforts that had already been begun, not only between Motlow and MTSU, but also between the technology Center and Motlow. We're always looking at ways to bridge our programs so that if we do have that student that maybe enters the Technology Center thinking, okay, I'm going to be here 6 to 10 months and I'm going to leave this program, I'm going to get a great job, and all of that may happen. Mm-hmm. But they may get to that great job and look around and say, wow, there's a lot more opportunity here if I complete an associate degree. And they may do that and then look around and say, you know what, if I complete my bachelor's degree. So you just never know where this can go for people.
Is there any outplacement or career counseling associated with this consortium at all?
We are really focusing on the education piece of this. Again, I don't know how I will not be able to always have my eye out for employment opportunities. I really think that that's in my blood, and I'm not going to be able to not do that. But that is not really one of the primary focuses of this grant. We're convinced that if we get these adults educated, then the employment side of that will take care of itself. Having said that, networking with and the mentoring program we talked about, so partnering with the business community, is certainly going to be one of the ways we're able to get our students out in front of hiring managers.
Mm-hmm. Do you envision that any of these adult students might be so turned on by education once they get back into the swim of things that they could even be inclined to go into graduate school, go for a master's, go for a PhD.
And that's how you know you're really doing a great job.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we definitely plan to, we're taking one step at a time, of course, but we really plan to not only inspire the individual students, but we want them to be so excited about being able to complete whatever program it is they choose, that they're going home, they're going back to their neighborhoods, they're going to their churches, and really just spreading the word about how this is possible and letting people know where to come if they're interested in seeing it happen in their life as well.
Because nothing works like word-of-mouth advertising. And could one of the residual impacts of this, if it's successful, also be on the next generation, the children? You know, Mommy went to the Tech Center, Mommy went to Motlow, Daddy went to MTSU. You know, I think maybe that's what I want to do too.
That is so true. It moves higher education from being something that's not attainable to something that's expected.
So to something that is, if not a, a literal mandate, at least a moral imperative, right?
Absolutely.
Moral and ethical. Education was a moral and ethical imperative in my house. I'll bet it was in yours, too.
It absolutely was.
Mm-hmm. And it is now with your own kids, with your husband, right?
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. this is a quite a challenge, but just looking at your resume and the work you've done in the past, it seems like you're up for challenges. It looks like you thrive on challenges.
I do, and actually when I found out that we had gotten this grant in Middle Tennessee, I just, you know, you see opportunities sometimes that look like they were made for you. I don't know if we mentioned this before, but I am a transplant to Middle Tennessee. And I believe that this is one of the reasons I was transplanted here, because I absolutely
Is that a tactful way of saying you're a Yankee?
I'm a Yankee. But now, in my own defense, I didn't know I was a Yankee until I moved here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
My mom is from Mississippi, so I mentioned that early and often.
Mm, okay. Yeah. It always helps. It always helps, too. If people want to find more about the MOA Adult Student Consortium, how do they get in contact with you or any of the officials with whom you're working?
Well, I certainly hope people will contact me, again, Echelle Edie, and they can reach me at 615-494-7723. The next time we get together, Jenna, I should be able to give you our web address.
Right.
That our students at the Technology Center will have built by then.
Hey, that's wonderful. Echelle Edie, her name is spelled, Echelle is E-S-C-H-E-L-L. The last name is Edie, E-A-D-Y. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
This is MTSU on the Record. I'm Jenna Logue. Join us again at the same time next Sunday. Don't forget, you can check out the podcast at your leisure at mtsunews.com, and we're available on iTunes.